This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, March 3rd, 2017. Coming up this hour,
Janet Yellen takes to the stage in Chicago as Fed Funds futures show 88% odds of a rate hike this month.
Stanley Fisher also set to speak following a week of Fed officials making the case for a March move.
Snap shares surge. The maker of Snapchat gains 44% in its first day of trading.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions may be recusing himself, but a new controversy may be brewing for the Trump administration online. I'm Nathan Hager. Those stories and more coming up.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, the Rangers helped Henrik Lundqvist celebrate his birthday with the win. Islanders came up clutch on the road, and the Jets cut their second superstar in as many days.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Korn Ferry. Leadership, rewards, culture, recruitment. Let Korn Ferry help sync your talent to your strategy to release their full potential and the full potential of your people. Learn more at kornferry.com/up.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures lower this morning with S&P futures down about 4 points. Dow futures down 11. NASDAQ futures down 9. DAX in Germany's down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield 2.49%. The yield on the 2-year 1.31%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 15 cents to $52.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $4.50. To $12.28.40 an ounce. The euro's at $1.0537 and the yen 114.43.
So this week, we've heard from several Federal Reserve officials calling for a rate hike as early as this month. With the next FOMC meeting scheduled for mid-March, Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan, San Francisco Chief John Williams, and Board of Governors member Lyle Brainard all took to the stage to strike a hawkish tone.
We should be moving sooner rather than later.
A rate increase is very much on the table.
All told, it will likely be appropriate soon to remove additional accommodation.
As policymakers increased their hawkish rhetoric, Fed fund futures ramped up as well. They ended last week predicting a 40% chance of a March rate hike. That number has now doubled to 88% this morning.
And today we'll hear from the two highest-ranking Fed officials. At 1 p.m. Wall Street time, Chair Janet Yellen speaks at the Executive Club of Chicago, and Vice Chair Stanley Fisher is set to deliver remarks at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Bloomberg's Michael McKee has a preview.
The question of the day, does the Fed's leadership sign on to the now prevalent view a rate increase is coming next week, or do Janet Yellen and Stanley Fisher push back? Most recent economic data has been steady or stronger than forecast, and over the past few weeks, many Fed policymakers have pointed to a possible March rate rise, most notably Governor Lyle Brainard, long considered the most dovish member of the board. But we have yet to see the February payrolls report, and the new administration has offered no details on possible fiscal stimulus, so Yellen in particular may want to offer some caveats to give her colleagues the flexibility to wait if they want without throwing markets into turmoil. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Michael. We'll bring you Chair Yellen's remarks live at 1 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Trading is underway in Europe ahead of Chair Yellen's remarks. For the latest, we bring in Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Neira Chahich, live from our London bureau. Good morning, Neira.
Good morning, Bob, Karen. Well, European equities are heading for their best weekly gain of the year, but we are seeing a little bit of a down day today as the pause in the global equity rally is being mirrored in European equity markets. We're 3 hours into the session and the Stock 600 is retracing some of the losses from earlier. It dropped as much as 0.5%, now down almost 0.3%. It is media companies that are leading the losses, and among them WPP, the world's biggest advertising company. It projected slower growth and weaker new business. That stock down more than 7% at the moment. Another one of the worst performers is the miner Fresnillo, down about 4.7%, perhaps mirroring what's happening in the gold price, because after 4 weeks of gains, gold is on track for its worst weekly loss of the year, down 0.5% at the moment. And then on the upside, one of the best performers is Gemalto. Now, its full year 2016 operating profit came in in at a beat, pushing that stock higher. The CEO said that the company aims to expand in the US, and the European Market Open on TV actually did speak to the CEO too. He said the US remains a key market under the Trump administration. Neera Chehich, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Neera. Trading for the week is wrapped up in Asia. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, Asian stocks fell on Friday as investors shunned risk ahead of Janet Yellen's speech in Chicago. The MSCI Asia-Pacific Index fell close to 1% to round off its worst week in 2 months. Japanese stocks snapped their recent winning streak as the yen gained against the dollar for the first time this week. The slump in stocks coming despite data showing core inflation in Japan rose by 0.1% in January above estimates. In Seoul, travel-related stocks plunged, setting the Kospi up for its worst session since November. This on reports China had ordered travel agents to stop selling packages to South Korea. Stocks in China continued their decline ahead of the National People's Congress in Beijing, while property stocks dragged the Hang Seng lower in Hong Kong. This on expectations a rate hike in the US could dent property developers' profits. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. Shares of Snap surged 44% in its stock market debut yesterday, valuing the owner of Snapchat at more than $28 billion. Bloomberg's Sarah Fryer covers the company from our San Francisco bureau.
This is a company that doesn't want to be judged on its user growth, but it's going to be judged on its user growth because that's a metric that slowed in the fourth quarter. And if you don't have the users, you can't make the money off the ads. But Snap's argument is that the user engagement on its app is just so immersive and so frequent that it kind of doesn't matter the quantity so much as the quality.
Those Snap shares closed at $24.48 after debuting at an IPO price of $17, which valued the company at a sales multiple twice that of Facebook.
And futures are lower, with S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 15, NASDAQ futures down about 10, the DAX in Germany down 0.2%, CAC in Paris up 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.2%, and the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, the yield 2.49%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street, recusal, recriminations, and Russia. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager now with the latest on an attorney general under political fire.
Well, Bob, Jeff Sessions has taken some of that political fire down a notch now that he has agreed to recuse himself from investigations into Russian election meddling. Still,
the idea that I was part of a, quote, continuing exchange of information during the campaign between Trump surrogates and intermediaries for the Russian government is totally false.
Now, some Democrats had called on Sessions to resign for saying during his confirmation hearings that he had no contact with Russians during the campaign. But now Democrat Dianne Feinstein of California says Sessions has taken a good first step.
He moved himself out of the way. And now hopefully an independent investigation can go on with no potential conflict of interest.
Now, there could be a new controversy for the Trump administration, though. The Indianapolis Star reports Vice President Mike Pence regularly used a personal AOL email account to conduct official business when he was governor of Indiana. That account was compromised by hackers last year.
There's discussions about everything from the security gate at the governor's residence to how the state is responding after a shooting at the Canadian Parliament.
Indy Star reporter Tony Cook broke this story. Now, Hillary Clinton was regularly criticized during the campaign for using a private email server as Secretary of State. The Vice President's office says none of Pence's emails were classified. The fake jobs investigation isn't going away for French presidential candidate François Fillon. His spokesman just announced he's resigning in a Twitter post. We get more from Bloomberg's Greg Viscuzzi.
Things keep getting worse for François Fillon a day after he angrily insisted he's staying in the race despite being put under investigation for graft. At least 60 leading members of his party have abandoned his campaign. Fillon is defiantly holding a major rally in Paris this weekend, but his position is looking less and less tenable. Gregory Viscuzzi, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
And a Syrian state media report, government forces have retaken the ancient city of Palmyra from Islamic State. The New York Times reports it is the fourth time the city's changed hands in the last 2 years. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Nathan. 6:09 on Wall Street. Rob Bushkin now with your Bloomberg NBC Sports update. Good morning, Rob.
Morning, Bob. Boston versus New York. Doesn't matter what the sport, we can all agree it's a great rivalry. The Rangers and Bruins didn't disappoint. An original six matchup in the NHL found the Rangers winning 2-1 in Boston as seldom recognized Pavel Buchnevich and Oscar Lindberg scored both goals. All the scoring came in the third period, as did most of the net mining for Henrik Lundqvist. He tied Grant Fuhr for 10th all-time on the wins list.
I think last couple weeks, obviously, I got an opportunity to look at that list and who's on it. It's a great feeling. But obviously, you realize you've been lucky to be part of a great organization for almost 12 years now. It's been giving me an opportunity to play a lot of games, a lot of great teammates. So Grant is obviously one of the big ones back in the 80s and 90s. It's just really cool to be out there with him.
Lundqvist notched 32 saves on his 35th birthday. Rangers are in a tie with Pittsburgh for the 3 seed in the East. Islanders, they just refuse to go away.
Islanders 5-1-1 in their last 7 games against the Dallas Stars as Letty for Kulemans scores! Nikolai Kulemans adds to it. 3 goals in the first 9.5 minutes of the third period.
Isles TV on the call. New York wins 5-4 in Dallas. 5 separate Islanders scored, including Andrew Ladd with his 17th. The Isles are tied for the final playoff spot with Toronto. NFL, a day after the Jets released Terrell Revis, they part ways with star wide receiver Brandon Marshall. NBA, things could change for the Warriors. Minus Kevin Durant, they lose in Chicago. College Hoops, top 25. 22nd-ranked Wisconsin upset at home by Iowa. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. In other sports news, the oldest stadium in major college football is getting a makeover. This weekend, Georgia Tech's campus stadium, originally built in 1913 by members of the student body, will serve as the first home of Atlanta United, one of 2 expansion teams making its debut in Major League Soccer this season. A sellout crowd of 55,000 is expected for Sunday's opener against the New York Red Bulls. S&P futures at this hour are down 4 points. That is 0.2%. And this is Bloomberg. Rate hike odds jump. Janet Yellen weighs in today, and we'll talk about it all with Bloomberg Intelligence economist Yelena Shaletova, straight ahead here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update is brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City Cashflow Real Estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at NRIA.net. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. Janet Yellen and Deputy Stanley Fisher round out a week of Fed speak, with Yellen having the last word before the March meeting. We'll bring you her comments live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 1 p.m. Wall Street time. China may lower its target for economic growth at the annual gathering of state bosses on Sunday. Also on the agenda could be spending plans and reforms to the financial system. California Governor Jerry Brown says CalPERS is eyeing another cut in its return goal. The $311 billion pension system expects to earn only 5.8% after shifting money from stocks to lower returning assets. And instead of punishing kids with timeouts, some New Mexico high schools are using high-tech sleep pods. They allow students to lie on a recliner while listening to music, and they're said to be effective in calming agitated adolescents. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Chris Kirkham, thank you. Futures, they're now little changed to lower. S&P futures down about 3 points. Dow futures, little changed. NASDAQ futures down 6.5. So we're seeing a little improvement there. The DAX in Germany down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.49%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 10 cents to $52.71 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5 to $12.2790 an ounce. The euro $1.0541. The yen 114.4. 1-800-848-9848. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Nathan.
Karen, President Trump is calling it a total witch hunt, but Attorney General Jeff Sessions is recusing himself from the Russian election investigation after acknowledging he met with Russia's ambassador last year. The Russian deputy foreign minister tells Bloomberg the controversy is harming relations that are already in bad condition. He says they were deliberately destroyed by the Obama administration. The hits keep on coming for French presidential candidate François Fillon. His spokesman Thierry Soler just resigned via Twitter. More than 60 politicians now say they can't support a candidate facing charges of public embezzlement. In sports, the Golden State Warriors lose. Caps, Islanders, and Sharks are winners on the NHL ice. In an original six matchup, the Rangers beat the Bruins. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, something that'll have you shouting, "You cannot be serious!" John McEnroe style. Tech entrepreneur Gregoire Gentile has come out with a device called In/Out. It's about the size of a GoPro camera. You put it on the net. Apparently, it uses artificial intelligence to do a really good job letting you know whether your ball has fallen in or out of bounds.
You do a pretty good John McEnroe, you know.
Well, thanks. In/Out retails for $200 and could be threatening the jobs of tennis referees. Even they may need to look out for the rise of robots. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
Good morning. Almost as swiftly as the mercury was plunging on Wall Street this week, we've noted that the odds of an interest rate hike this month were climbing. As signaled by Fed funds futures, those odds have jumped from 40% at the end of last week to 88% this morning. Bloomberg Intelligence senior U.S. economist Yelena Shaletova is with us now. Good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Bloomberg View columnist Mohammed Al-Arian at Allianz writes on the terminal that Yellen's room for maneuvering is shrinking. Has all this Fed speak sort of painted them into a corner?
So it will be really difficult for her to say something completely different from what we have heard from almost each and every Fed official.
Yeah.
They're talking about the rate hike coming really soon. So clearly the odds are have risen for a rate hike in March, and we see some frothiness in financial markets. Financial conditions are really easy. But at the time when almost every Fed official is trying to talk up the rate hike coming really soon, economic data are telling us something totally different. So the Fed officials told us that they will hike if things are more or less the same and inflation continues to rise to the target. But the data in the beginning of the year basically showing some deceleration in economic growth. The revisions to the fourth quarter GDP told us that consumer spending remains almost the sole driver of growth. And what we have seen so far is that both income and spending on the inflation-adjusted basis have decelerated in the beginning of the year. So for a data-dependent Fed, it will be very hard to justify a rate hike right away. So I think for a prudent Fed, and they are, it will make a lot of sense to wait until they see at least the first quarter GDP numbers.
Or perhaps they just want to get this one over with, get one out there on the table, but maybe not quite as many as they had been talking about?
So they are talking about three rate hikes this year. And from a timing standpoint, it could probably make a lot of sense to do it in March because, you know, the longer you wait, the lower the opportunity for you to hike. But at the same time, it's just really not going to be prudent for them to do it until they see some evidence that growth is at least on the same trajectory as it was in the last few quarters.
Okay, I guess that means we're going to be hanging on their every word. Thank you very much, Bloomberg Intelligence senior U.S. economist Yelena Shaletova. from Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BI Go. S&P futures down 3 points at this hour. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures down 2 points. NASDAQ futures down 7 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. And a programming reminder, if you're going to parse Janet Yellen's words today, you'll want to hear her address in Q&A in Chicago. We'll bring her appearance to you live at 1 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good Friday morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's catch up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Federal Reserve officials have taken to the stage this week to make the case for a March rate hike. Today, it's Chair Janet Yellen and Vice Chair Stanley Fisher's turn as they make remarks in Chicago. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes reports.
Traders have already pushed the chances of a March rate hike to 90%. Yellen could boost that to 100% depending on what she says about the economy and the case for the first rate hike of 2017. Fed Vice Chair Stanley Fisher also speaks within the same hour as Yellen. If the two top Fed officials both signal that a March rate hike may be coming and then fail to deliver, economists say the Fed faces the risk of a major loss of credibility and the risk of a major bout of market volatility. Kathleen Hayes, Bloomberg, New York.
Thanks, Kathleen. You can hear Chair Yellen's comments live today on Bloomberg Radio and Television. She speaks at 1 p.m. Wall Street time.
The world's largest advertising company has had a slow start to this year and doesn't expect things to get a lot better. That has shares of WPP falling in London by the most in a year. Chairman Martin Sorrell says low inflation, technological disruption, and a greater focus on costs are having an impact on ad spending. WPP expects revenue to grow 2% in 2017, and shares are currently down 7.6% in London.
Euro area output rose to the highest level in almost 6 years in February as growth in the region's top four economies accelerated. A composite purchasing managers index climbed to 56 from 54.4 in January, putting the currency block on track for quarterly growth of 0.6%.
The world's biggest pension fund has posted the biggest quarterly gain in its history. Japan's government pension investment fund returned 8% or $92 billion in the last 3 months of 2016, increasing assets to $1.2 trillion. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down about 3 points. Dow futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 8. The DAX in Germany, it's down less than a tenth of a percent. The FTSE 100 down about 0.2%, while the CAC in Paris is up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.5%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, the yield 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 18 cents to $52.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $6.20 to $12.26.70 an ounce. The euro at $1.0541 and the yen 114.51. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. The White House spins the Attorney General's undisclosed talks with Russia, and the latest on that and more now from Bloomberg's Nathan Hager. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, President Trump is calling it a total witch hunt, but Attorney General Jeff Sessions is now saying he will recuse himself from the Justice Department's investigation into Russian election meddling, acknowledging he did meet with Russia's ambassador last year.
Most of these ambassadors are pretty gossipy, and they liked this was in the campaign season. But I don't recall any specific political discussions.
After testifying at his confirmation hearing, he had no contacts with Russia. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer still insists Sessions needs to resign.
There cannot be even the scintilla of doubt about the impartiality and fairness of the Attorney General.
Meantime, Sessions might not have been the only one with Russian contacts. USA Today reports Trump campaign officials J.D. Gordon and Carter Page spoke with Russian Ambassador Sergey Kislyak during the GOP convention in July. And an unnamed White House official confirms to the Associated Press President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner met with the ambassador at Trump Tower back in December, along with the man who had become National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Of course, Flynn was fired last month for misleading Vice President Mike Pence about his contacts with the ambassador. Pence, meanwhile, may be facing controversy of his own. The Indianapolis Star reports the vice president regularly used a personal email account to conduct official business as Indiana's governor. Emails from his AOL account included discussions on security at his residence to responses to terror around the world. Indy Star reporter Tony Cook obtained these emails through a Freedom of Information request.
The vice president's office sent us a statement saying that Pence didn't break any laws and that he's complied with all Indiana laws regarding these records. And, you know, they've also said that any comparison to Clinton is absurd.
Pence regularly criticized Hillary Clinton during the campaign for using a private email server as Secretary of State. Pence's office says none of his email was classified. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Much obliged, sir. And at 6:35 on Wall Street, your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now from Rob Buschke. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. What's better than an original six matchup with the Bruins and Rangers? How about a 2-1 New York win on Henrik Lundqvist's 35th birthday? An unusual cast of offense for New York.
Stanley Cup banner for that. Here's Nash whipping it high. It'll bounce to Holden. Across it goes. And a wind-up score. What a blast. And the Rangers strike first. It's Pavel Buchnevich.
Rangers TV's Oscar Lindberg also scored a goal, his fifth. Rangers are third in the East, tied with Pittsburgh. Islanders continue to impress under new coach Doug Waite. They won 5-4 in Dallas to keep their hopes alive. Wait on the Isles' patience.
We just got to play the same way. You know, it's a learned habit, and I think we've been pretty good at it as of late in the last month, 6 weeks, but it wasn't a great example today. And we didn't give up a lot in the third. Just we got to play with a little more poise and then a little better decisions. And then when it comes to the last 3-4 minutes, we got to play with a little more desperation. That's when you got to start taking icing, and we got to take an icing. We made some soft plays and kind of let them back into the game, but big win.
New York is tied for the eighth and final playoff spot with Toronto. NBA, the Warriors without Kevin Durant lose in Chicago. First time this year they've lost back-to-back games. And college hoops, one top 25 upset. Number 22, Wisconsin, beaten at home by Iowa. NFL news, as the combines begin this weekend in Indianapolis, a day after the Jets cut Darrelle Revis, they drop another superstar from the roster, wide receiver and Pro Bowler Brandon Marshall. 33 years young, they said he doesn't fit in quite with their new youth movement. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Buschke. Let's go shopping. Shares of Costco fell 4.3% in late trading after the company posted disappointing quarterly earnings. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett with the story.
It's a sign its warehouse club model may be less durable than expected in a shaky retail economy. The results coming from a company that is widely seen as a retail bright spot renew concerns about the industry. Best Buy and Target both gave pessimistic outlooks earlier this week, dragging down shares of the big box retailers. A membership fee increase also failed to placate investors. The company plans to boost its rates by $5 this year, a move that should help fuel sales and earnings. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Then there's the Radio Shack electronics brand, bracing for another blow as the joint venture between Sprint and former Radio Shack owners prepares to file for bankruptcy. People familiar with the matter say General Wireless Operations may file within the coming days. The company operates Radio Shack outlets within Sprint locations and also franchises the name to other stores. It's a milestone for Spotify. The world's largest paid music streaming service has surpassed 50 million subscribers. That's more than twice as many as the industry's number two player, Apple. Spotify is still losing money, though. Investors are expecting the Swedish company to file for an IPO. And it's now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
When Senator Jeff Sessions spoke twice with a Russian envoy last year, it's likely that nothing nefarious was discussed. When Sessions later asserted under oath that he did not have communications with the Russians, it's entirely possible that he forgot about the contacts. And it's plausible, finally, that a federal probe into the matter will turn up nothing at all. And yet, appearances matter. As the head of the Justice Department, Sessions is now responsible for overseeing at least one federal investigation into Russia's efforts to sway the 2016 election and into links between the Russian government and associates of President Trump. Sessions, then, was right to recuse himself from any investigations of Trump's ties to Russia. That isn't the end of the matter, though. The broader question of Russia's influence on the election is being investigated by the House and Senate Intelligence Committees. This matter would be better handled by an independent inquiry. If the whole story is merely a witch hunt, then the White House should welcome an independent investigation, which can put the question to rest for good. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Likewise, your Bloomberg Green Business Report now. The Environmental Protection Agency says, never mind. It's withdrawn a request for oil and gas producers to report methane leaks and effectively ends the Obama administration's plans to cap emissions on existing oil and gas wells. Environmentalists had praised the previous administration's action, but the industry complained it would be too costly. The EPA said it was reversing course after getting a letter from 11 states this week, which called it an unnecessary and onerous burden on oil and gas producers. The nonprofit watchdog Clean Air Watch says the Trump administration appears to be pulling the plug on any such regulations for the foreseeable future. EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt said in a statement his agency is committed to strengthening its partnership with the states and reducing burdens on business. Data had been sought from some 15,000 companies. Under the Obama administration, the EPA had argued that the rules cap to cap leaks would pay for themselves because methane is essentially their product. Coming up, we'll check the day in D.C. just ahead and explore where things stand now for Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the investigation into Russian interference in the election. Stay with us.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to lower this morning. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are quiet today, with Dow futures currently down 2 points, S&P's dropped 3, and Nasdaq futures declined by 7. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.5%. Asia markets were lower overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. But note that Italy is outperforming again, up 1.1%. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. services PMI. At 10 o'clock, ISM, non-manufacturing composite. At 12 o'clock, Fed Vice Chair Fisher speaks in New York. And at 1 o'clock, Yellen gives an economic outlook speech in Chicago. After the bell last night, Costco missed. Shares are down 5% in the pre-market. And Nutanix is down 18% in the pre-market after its results. Regarding earnings this morning, Big Lots was mixed. And in other news, Consol Energy hires Credit Suisse and Bank of America to find a buyer for its coal business, which could be worth $2.8 billion or more. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Ciena cut to neutral over at Bank of America. PTC Therapeutics cut to Equate at Barclays. Citigroup cut to inline at Evercore ISI. Dr. Pepper Snapple raised to buy at Jefferies. And Nutanix cut to underweight at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Nathan.
Karen, Russia is warning relations with the U.S. are being harmed by a malicious campaign to highlight meetings between the Trump administration and the Russian ambassador. Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov tells Bloomberg U.S. relations are already in bad shape, having been, as he puts it, deliberately destroyed by the Obama administration. UK Prime Minister Theresa May says the Scottish National Party's focus on independence has become an obsession. May spoke at a conference of her Conservative Party in Glasgow. Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon's indicated she may seek a second independence referendum for Scotland over opposition to Brexit. In the NBA, the Golden State Warriors fall to the Bulls. NHL, Caps, Islanders, and Sharks are winners. Rangers beat the Bruins in an original six matchup. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, think way back to your distant childhood. Wasn't nap time great?
Well, kids in New Mexico don't have to think back that far. According to the Associated Press, some high schools in Las Cruces have invested $14,000 a pop for high-tech sleep pods so high schoolers can kick back inside, listen to music while colored lights shine above them. Must be nice.
Good idea.
You know,
maybe we can get some around here.
Right? Maybe they should put those in the office someday. I mean, then again, it does sound like senior prom in a box. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. Donald Trump has inspired two sets of doubts among Republicans. Characterological and ideological. Conservatives feared that he lacks the maturity and self-discipline to be a good president, and that he doesn't believe what we do. In speaking to Congress this week, he temporarily put the first set of questions on hold. Republicans in the audience were obviously relieved, but they were cheering for a very different speech than most of them would have given. Trump didn't even pay lip service to social conservatism or to cutting total federal spending. Instead, he talked up infrastructure spending, protectionism, and child care subsidies. He said nothing about financing his ambitious agenda. Maybe Chelsea Clinton will get it paid for when she's president. Trump's positions on spending and trade don't seem to be hurting him politically and may be helping him. Trumpism is more popular than Trump's usual persona is, as Trump showed in his effective, expensive speech. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
If your business sells stuff online, take note. States are amping up efforts to force you to collect sales taxes. Currently, you don't have to collect sales tax if you don't have a physical presence in the state where the online sale took place. But Bloomberg BNA reporter Jennifer McLaughlin says that may be changing.
States have taken that physical presence standard and they have found, someone has mentioned or someone has termed it, creative extensions of physical presence. To say maybe a company is not in the state, but because of a relationship with someone in a state, that is enough to establish physical presence to then trigger that sales tax collection obligation.
In a 1992 decision, the Supreme Court established the physical presence rule for collecting sales tax, but that was well before the flood of online sales. The states are salivating over the idea of capturing lost revenue, and challenges are weaving their way through the courts. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi speaking at a Politico playbook breakfast. President Trump travels to Florida for an event at St. Andrew Catholic School in Orlando. And Fed Chair Janet Yellen delivers remarks on the U.S. economic outlook in Chicago. Also making news this morning is Attorney General Jeff Sessions' announcement that he will remove himself from investigations of Russian interference with the 2016 election.
I should not be involved investigating a campaign I had a role in.
So, joining us with more on this development now is Bloomberg's Justin Sink on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Good morning and welcome, Justin. Is it looking like a recusal is going to be enough to satisfy his Democratic critics?
Well, I'm not sure it's going to be enough to satisfy his Democratic critics, but it is going to be enough, it seems, to satisfy those on the right. And in a lot of ways, that's all that's really relevant right now because, of course, Republicans control, you know, both sides of Congress and the presidency. And so I don't think that there's going to be a sort of sustained push beyond what we've already seen for Jeff Sessions to go, despite the calls by people like House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi for him to not only recuse himself but resign from office.
And along with that, some Democrats were calling for a special prosecutor. Are they going to get one?
I mean, right now it does not seem like that's the direction things are going. But the big question, of course, is every time that one of these issues seems to be settled regarding potential interference in the election and any sort of culpability between Donald Trump or his allies and the Kremlin, is that new evidence starts to come out, new information starts to come out. And so I think if you're the Trump White House, what you have to be concerned about, or the Trump Justice Department, what you have to be concerned about, is that if additional information comes out, the acting attorney general may decide to step in and say, yes, a special prosecutor is needed here.
Let me turn you to another story the administration is dealing with this morning. The Indianapolis Star reports Vice President Mike Pence used a personal private email account to conduct public business while he served as Indiana's governor. And when they say email account, they're talking about one that's probably familiar to a lot of Americans.
You've got mail.
That's right. He was using AOL, America Online. Some are drawing parallels to Hillary Clinton's use of private email when she was Secretary of State. What does Pence's office have to say about that?
Well, they're obviously discounting those types of suggestions, saying that it's absurd because Mike Pence didn't set up his own email server and wasn't serving in an inherently national security context. But critics are pointing out that, you know, while as governor and, you know, in his AOL email account, Mike Pence talked about sensitive issues and national security issues regarding the state. And on top of that, there's evidence that his account was, in fact, breached and hacked, which was a central sort of tenet of the criticism of Hillary Clinton. And so, you know, the vice president said he abided by all laws that he needed to, and that he has outside law firm going through, making sure that everything's properly archived. But Democrat supporters of Hillary Clinton are obviously sort of looking at the situation and saying that at the very least it's highly ironic considering his criticism of her during the campaign.
Thank you very much. Bloomberg's Justin Sink joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Coming up, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. And David joins me now to tell us what's ahead.
Happy Friday, Bob. We're getting close to the start of that blackout period that precedes Federal Open Market Committee meetings. And because of that, we've had a ton of speeches this week from Fed policymakers, and that will come to an end today. The vice chair of the Federal Reserve, Stan Fisher, will speak here in New York, and the chair of the Federal Reserve herself, Janet Yellen, will deliver remarks and take questions in Chicago in the early afternoon. Of course, we'll have coverage of that here on Bloomberg Radio at 1 o'clock Wall Street time when those kick off. Marvin Goodfriend is going to join us today from Carnegie Mellon University, and Mickey Levy, the chief economist at Berenberg, will be here to talk about those speeches, and there's plenty to talk about in markets as well, of course. Dow 21,000, the Snap IPO yesterday. Julian Emanuel will be here from UBS, and Brian Weiser of Pivotal Research on that photo app now valued at, what, 20-something billion dollars.
David Gura with Tom Keene coming right up on Bloomberg Surveillance. Let's check the markets now with Karen Moscow.
Yeah, we continue to watch Snap, too, in the pre-market. It's moving this morning up 1.5%. This, again, after it jumped 44% in its trading debut. Futures this morning are lower, with S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 13, NASDAQ futures down 9. And for Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.